da-da-da.
What are you on a da-da-da?
I have not a da with a da-da-da. Oh, yeah?
Mm-car. We could za enough to buy some za.
Oh, yeah. Let's switch to Progressive to da and get some za with the money we saw.
Yeah.
Now we know we're going to da-da-da.
This is the Bob and Jeff Show, starring Bob Lutz.
You know, we can't all be flowery and complimentary and loving.
Jeff, that's a good point, Jeff. Maybe we should. Yeah, everybody's feeling good about it.
That's interesting, man.
Jeff Lutz.
I'm a baby face.
Oh, my God.
I'm the top baby face. Probably on KFH right now on the entire station.
That's just like your opinion, man.
And Jason Duda, for today anyway.
But I'm the judge.
I am the judge. Whether you're jury.
I hear ya.
97.5 and 1240 KFH.
Stand by for action.
Hello again, everybody. Welcome to a Thursday edition of the Bob and Jeff Show. We've got Jason Duda in with Bob and Jeff today, the three-man booth, as we get it going. Jeff, Duda, how are you all doing today? Very quiet in the pre-show session.
Well, there's a reason. What'd you eat? That wasn't my reason, but I'm willing to run with it.
What do you mean, what did I eat?
What did you eat?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Duda, look at him.
What happened?
Nothing. Can you see?
Oh, yeah, I can see it now.
What?
What did you eat?
What did you
eat? I'm not going to tell you until you tell me what you're seeing.
Yeah, I'm not sure you want us to tell people what we're seeing.
Around my mouth?
Yeah, your whole beard and mustache have turned blue. I don't think you're that old, so
blue?
What did you eat?
Blue. It's blue.
Well, I don't know.
I didn't notice it until he said that.
I have no idea.
Cotton candy. He's holding out.
What does it look like I ate? I haven't eaten anything.
A donut or something.
It looks like blue cotton candy, doesn't it?
I had no donut.
Really?
I had a few peanuts earlier.
Oh, that peanuts wouldn't do that.
That's not going to do it. You haven't had anything with any artificial coloring?
No.
Huh.
I've never seen a beard turn blue.
Well, now you got me worried.
Well, I told you probably didn't want to ask the question.
Well, why is this guy jumping on me right out of the chute?
I don't know.
I'm just
curious. That why you weren't talking to me?
No, I didn't even notice it until he said it.
You got a mirror on your phone? Well, let me look at my...
Yeah, you better check it out, because it's blue. I can see it from here. I thought cotton candy. That was my first guess.
Have you been exposed to cobalt or indigo?
Oh, no.
That could be something.
Indigo.
Stress? Can change your hair color. I don't know if it's to blue, but I don't know.
There is a little blue over there, isn't there?
There is.
Seems like
I don't know what it is.
Seems like it's sort of coming off if you like lick your...
I don't know what it is. Maybe it's a fatal... Look up fatal blue hair.
Oh, yeah. Maybe he's going to just make sure you get through.
I've heard of old people becoming blue hairs, but this is ridiculous.
Well, this is
already used that joke.
There's a reason for it.
I didn't hear you.
I didn't hear it either, actually.
You didn't use it.
Yes, I did. I said, your hair's blue. I don't think you're that old. So what's going on? I said something like that.
That wasn't as funny as mine.
It was pretty close.
Jeez.
I mean, I don't know. I did. Now I'm racking my brain trying to think of what I may have.
Does it hurt? Is it a bruise?
No, it doesn't hurt.
I'm just asking.
We're just worried about you. It's all simple.
Some kind of varicose vein? Yeah, you might need to wash it off.
Or
it's not coming off.
Why didn't my wife tell me this?
I don't know.
I sat in an insurance agent's chair for 40 minutes earlier today. I wonder Adam, if you saw this and you said to yourself, what the hell's wrong with this old man? I mean, this is ridiculous. Is my wife not paying attention?
I don't know. What's going on? Maybe she was afraid to tell you. Maybe she...
Well, why wouldn't she have said before we went in and sat down, hey, honey, you got a little blue stuff on your beard there. Get it out, please.
Well, maybe she looked up fatal blue hair and didn't want to tell you what she found. I don't know.
Wanted to make sure you paid the insurance first so she was good for a year.
Well, that could be.
I mean, that's only smart, and Debbie's a smart girl.
What must Adam have thought?
I think that's probably
what
he
might have been in on it.
Well, now you got me all flustered. Well,
don't be flustered. I wouldn't be flustered. But you didn't need anything.
I cannot think of anything that would have caused this. I had guys delivering furniture today. I wonder if it was there when they were here. I mean,
did you like touch something?
This is how you get a reputation.
Did you touch something of color of sorts, or
no? I didn't touch anything.
Is it your pen ink, perhaps?
Yeah, I kissed my pen.
No, I'm asking. Maybe it got on your hands and you brushed away.
Anything look like it's on my
hands? I'm just asking, dude.
Don't snap at us. I mean, you asked.
Snapping at you.
You asked this question. I said you might not want to ask it, and now you're losing your marbles for something you did to yourself. And can't remember.
Is this something you guys conspired to do yesterday?
Yes.
We're going to go over here and
trust me,
plant some blue dye somewhere. I'm going to have Debbie rub it on his face when he's sleeping. And then he won't notice it. And at 2 o'clock, we'll attack him.
We actually got together at lunch today and did it.
Yeah.
Well, how'd it get there?
Oh, that's a secret. I mean, why would we tell you that?
Right. After all the time we spent planning it,
yeah,
we're just going to give it away now.
I mean, I had a great opening for the show, which was making fun of you.
Well, that kind of turned around on you, didn't it?
Dang it, man.
Yeah, that joke turned blue in a hurry.
I can still use it. There you go. Not bad.
Go for it.
That was, see, Jeff didn't even give you any.
Oh, right. No,
I didn't hear it. I apologize. Yeah. You were both talking.
No. Jeff's so wrapped up in his own world.
That's true.
I was just going to mention that there was some news I read on maybe even KWCH website about on 235 someone had lost their trailer.
Yeah, that was and yesterday.
And I had to call you. I felt like calling you to make sure you were okay.
That's funny.
I get it because he lost it. But yeah, that's.
I didn't lose it.
Well, it did. Kind of, you did.
I wasn't responsible for that, and everything's fine.
Well, it made news here in Wichita. I wonder if it did in Columbus.
Well, it was here, though.
What do you mean it was here?
The trailer falling off. Are you talking about the one that happened yesterday?
No, the one that happened to you in Columbus.
No, I don't think so. There were no reporters that came out, so.
Did that trailer sit idle for some time?
It did.
And you came back and got it? At a later day?
No, we stayed and we had it towed to my sister's house. And a few weeks later, my wife and mother-in-law went back to Ohio to get it.
Still one of the great stories.
Fantastic.
And I'll never get tired of it. So when I saw the trailer loose here in Wichita.
Assumed.
Nobody heard about that and it wasn't even a thing. It was just somebody's like back something. I don't know all the words. They use like stiff rear rotor loader, your rigger, random. It's like
well,
all
it made
these
the
things.
News.
Must
yeah,
been
everything
slow
makes
news
the
day.
News.
Slow news day.
Maybe so.
I didn't put it up. Don't
maybe
blame me.
So. Here's we don't have a slow day here on the show. However, at 2:25, Brandon Clark, head football coach at Derby, they are facing Manhattan. Boy, that's a whale of a game coming up Friday night, or will it be?
We'll find
we'll
out.
We'll get your thoughts. I'd put that line at, you can't do that in high school sports. Although someday you might.
17 and
the way
a half.
Things are going. 17 and a half?
Yeah.
I'd take Derby.
I think I would too.
I don't know.
So maybe
it
the
might
line's
be more,
not high
I
enough.
Mean, when Manhattan played Mays beat him up a little bit. So
yeah.
They might be a little.
Yeah, Mays. Boy,
they almost
they can't
scored.
Stop talking about that game.
Well.
49-0 at
They're
half.
Just trying to help Derby out, that's
don't
all.
Don't turn me against Mays.
Well, I'm not turning against
Don't
anything.
Be that guy.
I'm trying to
you
tell
can, you. You can feel however you want about anything. No,
no
one's,
I like,
no
I
one's
like
controlling your emotions.
Don't turn me against you.
If you're against me, you're against me.
Well, I may be.
That's fine.
But don't try to run Mays up the flagpole as some team that, well, Manhattan
was
lucky
obviously,
to get
it was 55-0.
Yeah, Bob.
No, don't do it. I'm not in the mood.
Oh, why?
I got blue tint in my mouth.
I love it. He's going to be rattled for 2 hours.
Anyway, Brandon Clark at 2:25. Taylor Eldridge from the Wichita Eagle at 2:45. Shockers unbeaten. They get their first, I wouldn't say their first real test, but a real test tomorrow night up in Kansas City facing St. Louis at the, what do they call that place now?
T-Mobile Center?
The T-Mobile Center. Used to be the Sprint Center.
Sure did. There's no Sprint
anymore.
How'd
they go away from Sprint?
Sprint went away from itself.
Didn't you have Sprint for a while?
Yeah, now I have T-Mobile. How about that? I think. Or do I have Verizon? I don't know.
Well, you think you'd know.
I think I have Verizon. Yeah, I do have Verizon.
I've always had AT&T.
That's nice.
What do you have?
AT&T.
Well, I think we're a little superior.
Well, Verizon gets better reception out where I live.
Which is important because he's out there.
You have to consider these things.
And then at 325, we'll make picks. Jason Duda has taken a 20-point lead over Jeff, a 21-point lead over yours truly. Max and Anthony, unfortunately, they've...
It's nice that they chime in.
Kind of sold the farm.
I'm glad they're still on, though.
Well, maybe they'll have a big week.
You never know in this. It can happen.
It's another tough week. A lot of interesting games. A lot of games that you don't really know how the outcome's going to turn out.
Yeah, I can honestly say I don't like this week.
Max had a good week last week. I had the best week, finally. Long overdue. And even with that good week, I was only 4-4. And I'm only 40-56 for the year. Duda has the lead there at 43-53.
Wow.
That's the best.
That's bad.
Why are the games so hard this year?
It's college.
Wait, what'd you say your record was? 40-56?
40-56. You're 42-54. In the last 2 weeks, you're 3-13.
Yeah, very bad. Very bad.
Yeah, that's
so you listened to the show, obviously, yesterday. What did you think?
Oh, I texted in. What did I text?
About Rad Racer.
Just brutal.
You didn't like my Rad Racer.
I didn't even know what you were doing.
And I knew Duda was like, what? And it just went on and on.
It didn't stop.
No, I just wanted to play.
But why can't you just hit something for a minute or so?
I thought people would be interested. A lot of people played Rad Racer back in the day.
No, not me.
Did you hear our Joe Posnanski interview?
I did not.
He's in town today.
Well, good for him. Writing, signing a book, I take it.
He's talking. He's not just signing. He's out there having an event.
Well, good for him. He ought to.
Jeff's going tonight.
I might.
No, you're not.
Let me tell you right now, he will not go.
I have two tickets. But I don't have anybody to go with. You want to go?
No.
Okay.
Find somebody to go.
I have asked.
What about the almighty David Michael Hahn?
Yeah, like when in doubt.
David Michael Hahn thinks highly of himself. I'll just say that.
Uh-oh.
Oh, hey. Uh-oh. Trouble in paradise.
Yeah, just...
What happened?
You know, just makes me kind of grovel. I got to ask him 4 or 5 times if he's going. He doesn't ever give a firm answer, so then I got to ask again. Like, just tell me what's going on, man.
Uh-oh.
That's all I'm asking.
Doesn't sound good.
Just tell me.
Will he be invited to the Christmas or the birthday dinner?
Ooh. Not right now, it doesn't sound like.
Doesn't seem like it.
You
got Jeff's very fickle with his friendship.
I wouldn't say that, but
come on. You detour even a little bit.
Oh, you can't.
And he'll drop you like a lead balloon.
Yeah, terrible. Trust is a difficult thing to attain. It's an even more difficult.
So where are you with David Michael Hahn?
Love him. Love him. But I need him to be better for me. That's all.
Wow.
He's got a wife, young children.
A job.
A lot of friends. Yeah. More than you ever thought of having. And I'm sorry, but why would you be a priority?
Well, I don't need to be a priority.
Well,
but,
you said...
I just said
he needs to be there for you.
No, I need him to be better. I don't need him to be there. He didn't have to be there. But if you can't go, tell me you can't go. Don't make me ask 4 times.
Bigger variety of friends.
I don't like having to beg
so
people,
that every
you know?
Time David Michael Hahn thought, oh, God, Jeff's got this thing and he's going to ask me. And maybe if you switched it up occasionally.
Yeah, maybe.
He's under a lot of pressure with you being, with him being maybe your only friend.
I wouldn't quite go that far, but, you know, he's in the top 3. I asked Jamin to go.
What'd he say?
He can't go. He's got to work.
I think Jamin's kind of done with you.
Jamin texts me all the time.
That's pretty impersonal.
Fine.
What's he text you?
He texts me about the Shockers a lot.
You know
sports.
Who I text? People I never want to see.
Really?
Yeah.
That's fair.
That's a good way out.
What if you don't even text people you know?
Well,
we know Duda. I'll see him in 20 years. We'll pick up right where we left off.
Yeah,
well,
exactly.
Great.
That's the way it's supposed to be.
You left off 20 years ago.
And well, you could develop a friendship, but that's just not what you do necessarily. It to each their own. But I mean, if what?
What happened?
Just, we could write a book about things Jason Duda doesn't do.
We're going to write another book?
Doesn't lose any sleep. Doesn't form friendships. Doesn't
what do you
care.
Mean, doesn't form friendships.
I think we just established.
Well, I think he probably
doesn't
has
listen
friends,
to music.
But they're all back in Sexsmith.
I'm going out with buddies on Sunday night for
really?
Some beers and watching the football game.
Where are we
really?
Going?
Crying out loud.
Oh, I didn't get that.
Oh, no, you didn't get that.
We don't ever get that invite.
No. When's the last? Listen to you two. You two are the worst. Oh, you want to do this? Oh, yeah, we'll think of. Well, it's a 10-day rule, though. I can change my mind. That's you guys.
I don't change my mind 10 days.
Where are you going with the boys on Sunday?
Yeah, we won't show up.
We're
or
going
anything.
To the humidor.
You going to smoke a cigar or
you
something?
You betcha.
What's your wife
a little
think
whiskey,
of that, that habit?
Smoking a cigar once every 6 months? I don't think it's a problem.
Good for you.
It's not a problem for me, so then it should be fine.
Good for you. Where is humidor?
No, I can't tell you. You might show up.
No, I'm not showing up.
Isn't it downtown somewhere?
You're not even close.
Okay.
On the west side?
It is.
Thinking of Mort's, I guess.
Oh, there you go.
It's over by Dudley's.
A little outing with the boys. I always hated that macho outing. Hey, here's your cigar.
It's because you were never... Because...
Why?
Bob, well, it was a macho outing. Bob didn't do anything macho in his life, so that's
really?
Why. It's
so I'm not.
Well,
macho.
You just said I don't do a macho outing.
I don't get into the whole here. We're gonna go. Well, but I mean, to each their own.
Hey, dude, it's like the first time in like a year I've been there, and the guys were chatting. We're like, well, why don't we go? We'll have a cigar. We'll have
no,
a couple
they weren't
whiskeys.
Like, hey,
they got 90 different whiskeys there. Really good. We'll sit in the back there in the big chairs, watch the football game, have a few drinks, and puff a cigar.
Oh, man.
What's wrong with that?
That sounds
What's wrong
so
with
great.
That in the evening?
That is so masculine, man.
It
football,
is.
Whiskey,
look at you guys.
And cigars.
So jealous because
wow.
You guys would never and do that.
You got to go work on cars afterwards?
No, I don't work on cars.
Yeah, I don't do that.
I have nothing to do with cars. You can ask anybody in the family.
Listen, what's macho about working on cars?
I don't know.
How many of these guys drive a pickup?
Do both of them?
Oh, it's
no,
just
one of them.
Two guys.
That's
yeah,
good.
Sound like going. You're getting together eight or nine guys.
Good for them. I hope you have a good time. Who's playing? Who's the Sunday night game?
Sunday night game is...
Isn't it Detroit, Indianapolis?
No.
Or is that Thursday night?
Well, Baltimore and Chargers is Monday, right?
It's not Baltimore.
So it's Philadelphia... And the Rams.
Oh, Philly and the Rams. That may be a game.
Well,
I was looking at this.
Bill, Bob, think about it. It's Philadelphia, and I'm going to have drinks.
Well, there you go. Like, it's the call
to
show.
Who do you think
show.
I'm cheering for? I'm going to call you guys all the time. Just to let you know exactly where I'm at.
We can't wait to talk to you.
Oh, it'll be something.
It will be fun. Let's do that. The Colts are wearing their Indiana Knights uniform.
By the way, that's on one Sunday of the night. Games we'll pick. This is a tough week of picks. There aren't a ton of marquee games, especially in the NFL. But you make picks.
They're tough. I don't like any of them. This is the first week I can say on the NFL side, I'm not comfortable.
That's what I figured you meant when you said it's a tough week. When you don't like the NFL games, that is tough for you.
I don't like any of those games.
I don't think I like any of the games, period. But we'll pick them, and I seem to be... on a little bit of a roll.
That'll end.
You're working your way back into the mix, sort of. I'm working my way out of the mix, and we're meeting in the middle.
Duda's been on a good, steady... let's look at him.
I'm just steady as it goes. That's just the way I wanted to do it this year.
Good grief. He had a tough beginning. Remember that -3 and that two-pointer?
I told you I wanted to give you guys a head start.
But he had a 35-point week, a 36-point week, 20, 22, 19, 12, 16. He slowed down a little bit.
You're slowing down a little bit.
I missed the big 10-pointers, so that hurts.
Thanksgiving, you'll get
just
it back.
I think if I had hit those 10-pointers, add 20 to both those last 2 weeks.
Well, that's ifs and buts.
Got to hit them.
You got to hit them. Sometimes you do, sometimes
doesn't
you don't.
Doesn't matter if you don't hit them.
It's just part of the game.
All right, we'll take a break. Brandon Clark, who never loses a bet. I don't think Brandon probably ever bets. I don't think he goes to the humidor.
Yeah, why are you telling people he bets?
I don't think he goes to the humidor. I don't think he works on his truck.
He does play football and coach it.
That's what I think.
Man's man.
I love the fact that you this bothers you guys so much. It's fantastic.
I'm going to ask Brandon what the last cigar he had.
You should.
Yeah.
Probably after his last victory.
He joins us next, the Bob and Jeff Show, three-man booth.
This is the Bob and Jeff Show.
All right, here's Brandon Clark from Derby High School. They are unbeaten. They face a really good Manhattan team coming up on Friday night in Derby in the Class 6A semifinals. Brandon, hello. Welcome to the show. How are you?
Good. How are you doing, Bob?
We're doing well. Before we get into the nitty-gritty of this interview, we were having some fun with Jason Duda here on the show. And he was talking about his social activity coming up Sunday night, going out to smoke cigars. When's the last time you smoked a cigar? I'm just curious.
Oh, gosh. I would probably have to say, I don't know, 5 to 10 years ago, maybe. I'm not sure. I can't even remember.
Well, if you want...
So,
you want to join the macho guys Sunday night...
Bob and Jeff are really disappointed because they're not macho enough to do this. Which I do like once every 6 months to a year. Like it's a huge club. If you want to join, let me know. I'll get you on the email.
Oh, yeah. Okay. All right. Thanks for the invite.
Let's get into your football team. It's been an incredible year. I haven't been to a game, but I watch some of your game on YouTube when I can. This is a fantastic team on both sides of the football. Is that what makes this Panthers team so special, the fact that you're really, really good offensively and defensively?
Yeah, I think both kind of feed off each other. We've had when our number one defense is out there, I think they've been scored on twice so far this year. We got scored on by a little hitch route, that missed tackle last game, and we got scored on in our first game against Hayes. But it seems like our offense is getting a really short field. And they're getting the ball back a lot of three and outs with our defense. And so they kind of feed off that. And, you know, when you only have to go 40, 50 yards to score a touchdown, it makes life a little easier. You can go for it on fourth down. And our special teams are doing really good, too. We've had close to about 10 special teams touchdowns this year. We've got some really talented players and a lot of players that want to block for those players. So, it's complete team offense and defense. You know, I mean, this is a high school program. We do have, you know, some areas that we're not as good as in other areas, and we got some injuries going on. But for the most part, it's been a fun team to coach, a very talented team, but a team that plays for each other and not for themselves.
So I don't think you'll have a problem with either of these things, but, you know, since you haven't really experienced them as a team this year, I just wonder where your kind of approach is. First of all, you haven't played anything close to a close game. How do you think your team might respond if and when, you know, the game against Manhattan or whatever game comes in the future gets tight? And, you know, a lot of times your players haven't played full games either. So how's the conditioning? Are there any concerns with either of those things?
You know, we try to address those issues. As far as being in a close game, we do a lot of one-on-ones in terms of our top 11 on offense versus our top 11 on defense, and we give each other a good look, and we press each other pretty hard in practice. And so, you know, we create a little adversity, and as coaches, you know, it's kind of your job. You know, you can't just kind of fly through the season without creating adversity during practice for your kids and making them feel it a little bit. So we've tried to put them in some situations where there is some adversity, and, you know, they got to think real quick and react real quick. And then in terms of conditioning, yeah, I think our we played, 11 games. I think our starters have played in, like, 22 quarters so far, which is about a half a season. So what we do is we just turn up practice. We don't condition. We probably haven't conditioned here at Derby for during the season for about 10 years. But what we do is we make our practice really high tempo. We get a lot of reps in. You know, they're flying around from drill to drill every 10 minutes. We switch drills, and the kids and the coaches are flying around, you know, sprinting to the next thing that we're going to do. So we practice really, really fast. Everything we do is fast. Everything in the weight room, you know, we have the kids lift fast, lift hard, you know, not for a long time. But, you know, hopefully, you know, it's a whole different ball game when you got all the adrenaline going and all that during a ball game. So hopefully our kids will be able to. We've put together a couple games where we played three quarters, but or almost three quarters. But I'm pretty sure this team will be able to play four quarters, and it's going to need four quarters against Manhattan.
Coach, obviously, when you've been as dominant as you have, you know, obviously your star positions, your quarterback, your wide receivers, your running backs and that sort of thing get the acknowledgement. Who are some of the guys on offense and defense that aren't getting their name in the paper every day but show up and have been really good team leaders for you?
Yeah, we've got defensively our front three defensive linemen. They are doing such a good job. They are making our linebackers flow free. They're demanding double teams. They're really being disciplined, staying in their gaps, and that just allows for our inside backers and our outside backers and our safeties to make plays and not have to shut off blocks or anything like that. And then offensively, we've got one senior on the offensive line, Caden Saviano. He's a little undersized, but, man, he has the biggest heart on our football team, and he cares for his teammates, and he's a perfect center. He calls out the defenses that we see. A lot of teams like to switch defenses on us, defensive fronts, right before the play starts, and he's kind of the quarterback of the offensive line and does a good job. And all the rest of the offensive line, man, they have done a really good job of improving and communicating throughout the season.
Brandon Clark is our guest. He is the highly successful football coach at Derby. And you started coaching there, if memory serves, I think this is right, when you were in your mid-20s, correct?
Yeah, I think I was, when I became head coach, it was like 26 or something like that. I was way too young.
And may I ask how old you are now?
I am 45, I think. I'm not sure. Once you get to this age, you stop remembering.
Stop counting.
Okay. It's all right, Coach. Concussions and stuff. I'm with you. It's okay.
Yeah, I've had plenty.
So we've known for quite some time that the actual coaching of football is a big aspect of what you do, but you're out for bigger and more meaningful things with your players. How much does that sustain you? And I would think you'd be a very popular speaker at coaching conventions and clinics and places like that. How much do you spread your message of what it is to coach young people? You just happen to be a football coach, but you could deliver your message to anybody. How often do you get to do that?
Yeah, quite often. You know, when our culture coach and I, we speak to a lot of companies and stuff, and we always use football and ranching stories throughout that about the culture that we've created with our football program. But at coaching clinics and stuff, you know, I used to always speak at those about X's and O's. But, you know, you can get on the computer now and become a really good X's and O's coach. I mean, there's so much, like anything in life, there's so much information out there. You know, you can get it anywhere. But I like talking about the culture and touching lives. And, you know, if I was still that coach, that young 26-year-old coach that was all about the weight room, all about discipline, all about X's and O's and putting the kids in the right position, you know, I think I'd be burnt out by now. So, you know, speaking on culture and just really, really talking to the team, our team, about culture a lot. It's kind of what keeps coaching fresh and fun. And, you know, that we always talk about boundaries. There's always boundaries and stuff in life. But when talking about your culture, there are no boundaries.
So I was interested, Coach, when you talked about, you know, you haven't done conditioning for 10 years. And I don't know if you were, like, soul-searching over that decision, and it was a while ago. But are there still things as a coach where you discover, hey, we don't need X to be a really good program, or we need to add X to continue to be a good program. Do those things still come up, or, you know, you've had so much success, do you kind of just roll with what has been working?
Yeah, you know, my first year of coaching, I got a group together, included Coach Appleby and a couple other guys that I really trust and are really vested in our program. And we started a football board. And that board was, after the season, we would talk about what worked, what didn't, what we need to add, what we don't need to add. And it's just not on the, you know, with the team. It's like stuff, how we serve the community, how we get out there, and little things like that. And we've continued with that board. I think I'm on year 19. So Coach Appleby obviously is up in Mill Valley and has his own now. But at the end of the year, we always think and dream about stuff that we could add to our program. But when it gets so much, there's a lot of stuff that you've done in the past that's really not having an impact on the football team like it usually does. And so we talk about what can we get rid of? What can we do to add some freshness into our program?
Talking with Brandon Clark from Derby, I want to ask you about Manhattan, because certainly this is not a walkover game, in my opinion. And they have a coach in Joe Schartz who has an incredible resume in and of himself. What do you know about Joe Schartz? What makes Manhattan difficult? Why is he such an effective high school football coach?
Yeah, I've coached against Joe for many years now, and he's really evolved offensively and defensively. He has our old head football coach, a guy that I was an assistant for, as his defense coordinator, and Lucas Haslin, and their defense is very aggressive. They have your typical stud athletes in Manhattan, then they have the typical linebackers that are just go to work and let's beat you up kind of linebackers and skill guys behind them. Then offensively, 6-7 years ago, they were just kind of a ground and pound football team, kind of like a flex bone football team. And then they started evolving to empty, to motions, to all this stuff. So there's so much you have to prepare for defensively. I think our coaches had like 100 formations and motions and all that stuff that they had on just through scouting them. So they do a good job of being aggressive both on offense and defense. And once they figure out something that's working against us, they tend to stick with it.
So we were talking a couple weeks ago. I can't remember the guy's name, but the guy who coached at Notre Dame and had been plucked from the high school ranks. And
Jerry Faust.
And we brought up your name because obviously in this area, no one's really had as much or more success than you. So I was just curious how you felt if you woke up tomorrow and you were the coach of Oklahoma. How do you think that would go? And, you know, since that doesn't really happen, and completely hypothetically, what would be the path for a high school coach now to become a Power 5 coach?
Yeah, for one, if I was the head coach for OU, I'd be fired within a day. They got a tough schedule, so would never want that. You know, I'm pretty good friends with Coach Venables. He's the guy that recruited me out of high school, so I stay in touch with him quite a bit.
Yeah, but I should have used a different one. My bad.
Yeah. but anyways, you know, there are high school coaches that want to move on and that want to be college coaches. And I don't know, at the beginning of my career, maybe I had, you know, I had the chance out of K-State to stay at K-State and grad assistant. And I decided to try the NFL out for a little bit and then go to high school coaching. But, you know, when I was young, I probably thought about it a little bit. But the more and more I've lived in Derby and seen the relationships that my family has had throughout this community and the stability that we have with, you know, our kids growing up in one town and not, you know, 10 different towns like a lot of college coaches have to do. You know, if you're a high school coach and wanted to go be a head coach someday, you'd have to do the grunt work, get into college and get on somewhere and then work your way up. But it would probably entail a lot of moving and, you know, your kids would probably go to 4 or 5 different schools. And that's not something I would want for my kids.
Brandon, we always enjoy talking with you, and if you win it all this year, I promise to smoke a cigar in your honor.
Wow.
How about that?
All right, Bob.
I'll do better, Coach. I'll bring you one. We'll have one together. I'm not Bob. I'm just going to pretend I'll have one by myself. Happy days.
All right.
Brandon, thank you. We'll be watching with very much interest on Friday night. Thanks for being with us.
Yeah, thanks, guys, for having me on. It's always a pleasure.
All right, Brandon Clark, the head football coach at Derby, one of the most macho people I know, and he does it without cigars.
Well, he did have one 5 years ago, maybe.
Exactly.
Well, there you go. IHOP Hotline, brought to you by IHOP, the official breakfast partner of Xbox. Here's Taylor Eldridge from the Wichita Eagle. We're going to talk some Shocker basketball. Wichita State off to an unbeaten start. They walked a tightrope a little bit with Monmouth earlier this week. They have St. Louis tomorrow night up at the AT&T Center.
Stop it.
Oh, my goodness.
Whatever it is in Kansas City.
T-Mobile.
I understand that. Hey, Taylor, how are you?
Hey, doing well. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, so Shocker basketball is interesting to me, as is the whole of Shocker athletics. We saw a letter distributed yesterday from Kevin Saul, athletic director, a day after he was on our show, and we talked to him a lot about finances and how they're paying for everything at Wichita State, given that the men's basketball program is not drawing people for whatever reason. Where is Wichita State athletic department right now in terms of having the money to do everything they want to do?
Yeah, it's tough to say. You know, the fiscal year report for this past year has not been released yet. Usually comes out sometime around now. So once that's out, we'll have a much better, much clearer idea. But for now, yeah, I mean, it's easy to assume, you know, not in the best place, because like you said, you know, men's basketball, that was the big money driver for all those years, you know, season tickets, selling out, you know, every men's basketball game for, you know, years and years and years. And then you look at the attendance at games now, and it's a half full, you know, pretty much every game. And, you know, it still gets loud. And, you know, there's still a home court advantage there. But, yeah, it's just it's kind of crazy. You look up, even for that Northern Iowa game, you know, a former Valley rival, you would think maybe that would draw a strong crowd. And, yeah, you know, there's 5,000, you know, 5,500 people actually in the arena. So you have to imagine that's not good for the athletic department. But like I said, you know, without that fiscal year report, it's hard to, you know, put your, you know, finger on exactly, you know, the situation that's facing the athletic department. But yeah, with that house settlement, I'm sure that Kevin went into on your show, that's a real challenge for, you know, universities all over the country, especially ones, you know, without football. You know, obviously they don't have to pay the same, but that's still, you know, it's still going to be a lot of money that they have to come up with in a, you know, short amount of time.
So, you know, a lot of people say, well, once they win, then people will come back. And I mean, I don't know that it's that simple. I guess I'll ask you that question. It seems like when you have this brand new team and they kind of look good, at least the first game people would show up, but that didn't happen. They didn't show up all last year. I know that there's a disconnect between the players that no one's familiar with and the fans, but it can't just be as simple as, well, they'll start winning and people will come back, is it?
Yeah, I mean, they, you know, last year they got off to that, you know, 6-7-0 start, and, you know, attendance didn't really improve dramatically. You know, off to a 4-0 start, these next three games will be huge. You know, if they come back to Wichita, you know, 6-1, 7-0, I think there's going to be, you know, some enthusiasm, but it's still not going to be, you know, sellouts. I think to get back to that level, you're going to have to make an NCAA tournament run. And then the next year, you're going to have to be top 25 good. And as you mentioned, you know, the turnover, roster turnover, that's, you know, probably the most popular thing when I ask fans, you know, why doesn't it feel the same as it did, you know, 5-10 years ago? And they just feel like, you know, they don't know these players. You know, they're coming in every year. And you look at this WSU roster, you know, 9-10 seniors. You know, they'll apply for a waiver on Bosniak, but, you know, this is going to be an entirely different roster next year. So even if WSU has success this season with this group, you know, maybe you can keep Zion Pipkin. Maybe you can keep, you know, Corey Washington And like I said, maybe they get a waiver for Bozniak. But, I mean, this is going to be a brand-new team next year. So it's not going to do much in terms of, you know, presenting that continuity that fans like. So, yeah, I mean, I think – I don't know if we'll ever see WSU get back to those days where they're selling out. You know, it's going to take something really special. I do think that attendance can improve dramatically, though. I think they still can get, you know, those 9,000 fans back, but it's going to take a top 25 team, you know, a championship contender in the American, something like that, to get fans back in. It's, you know, they're still in wait and see mode. They're beating Monmouth and Montana State. They want to see, you know, WSU back in that title mix in the conference.
And Jeff and I had talked about that too. Where exactly is this team? Because as you mentioned, it's always turnover. You never know what you have. We've only seen three games. But for yourself and someone that's close to the program, where do you see this team, obviously, compared to teams before? And where do you see them going in the American?
Yeah, you know, it's still, like you said, early in the season. But, you know, Memphis is looking pretty clearly like the top dog. You know, UAB was picked by the coaches to win, but they're off to a slow start. North Texas has looked really good so far. Florida Atlantic, I'm pretty high on. So I think, you know, it'll be a challenge for WSU to live up to that preseason fourth projection in the conference. But, you know, I think they have the talent to live up to it. You know, we saw the bad side. You know, it's probably about as worse as they're going to play all season against Monmouth. Just really struggled finishing, you know, 3-for-17 on jump shots in that game. So nothing outside the paint, and then you're struggling to finish, and then you're also struggling at the free throw line. You know, it's just a recipe for disaster that they were able to avoid that first game. But I do think the ceiling is much higher with this team. You have a point guard in Justin Hill who is not turning the ball over. I think he only has 4 turnovers through 4 games. And that's just going to really help your offense. Just, you know, adding shots, not wasting possessions with turnovers. So I think the ceiling is higher for this team. I do think they can, you know, potentially compete for a championship this season. You know, Memphis is clearly the talent favorite, but we've seen it, you know, time and time again, you know, implosions from them, especially during the conference season. So I think the door is wide open for the top of this conference, but, you know, WSU is going to have to play a lot better than they did on Monday. And that's why I think, you know, these next 3 games are going to really start to tell us something about this team. You know, those first 4, you know, going on the road to Western Kentucky, that was impressive. But, you know, playing St. Louis, who I think is going to be a top 100 team, and then you got Minnesota and then Wake Forest or Florida in the Orlando tournament. You know, if they can come out with a winning record, if they can win 2 out of those 3, that's going to be a really good sign that this team's going to be able to, you know, do something come March. But, you know, if they struggle against those opponents, then, you know, it might be time to pump the brakes and see. And obviously they just got bad news today with Ronnie DeGray. He's going to be out at least a month. You know, I think it's going to be closer to 2. Fractured wrist suffered on Monday. So that's kind of their glue guy, and they're going to be without him for an extended period of time now.
Yeah, that's a tough one. We're talking with Taylor Eldridge from the Wichita Eagle, Kansas.com. So much has changed since I left the paper 7 years ago in terms of college athletics. I'd be having a field day as a columnist, I believe, in this day and age. Don't like everything that's happening, but it's happening whether I like it or not. So you talked about the roster construction this year. We would never see a team this loaded with seniors and upperclassmen. There's always been the thought back in the day that you wanted variance in your roster. Where does that leave freshmen, incoming players like a TJ Williams, who's hurt right now, or a Zion Pipkin? How do freshmen, those guys in particular, and freshmen as a whole, handle this new day and age?
Yeah, the transfer portal has severely limited opportunities for freshmen, and you're seeing a lot of them, you know, go the JUCO route because of that. And I think, you know, unless you're a, you know, a top 150 guy, you know, it's going to be tough to find a spot, you know, at the D1 level, because, you know, every team once experienced, and now it's more available than ever with the transfer portal. So, you know, I've seen a lot of people, you know, kind of worry about, you know, what Wichita State's going to look like next year. You know, like I said, 9 out of the 13 guys, they're going to be gone. That's just the new age. You know, that's almost every team in college basketball is, you know, is Wichita State's not going to be on an island here trying to replace the majority of its roster. You know, that's just the new normal. And like you said, I don't think, you know, a lot of fans like that new normal, but that's just the reality of the situation where, you know, there's going to be a lot of roster turnover. And I do think, you know, Paul Mills is going to try to you know, retain players like he did this last year, you know, bringing five of his top eight back. But, you know, there's going to be years where you're going to be relying on a ton of seniors. And, you know, there's no reason to believe that next year's roster is going to look anything different. You know, that they can easily go out in the portal and bring in, you know, eight or nine new seniors and still be a very experienced team next year. So, yeah, this is just like the new way that college basketball is trending. And, you know, I think it's not super popular with fans, and especially, you know, Wichita State fans who are used to a certain way of the Marshall days, you know, when they were at the peak of their power. Like you said, you know, you want a balanced roster. You want, you know, 4-4-4 and maybe, you know, two or three freshmen. So that's just not the way that the rosters are going now. And it's going to take some time to get used to it, I think.
And we've seen Shaka Smart to some degree buck that trend at Marquette, and I like that. Go ahead, Jeff.
Just real quick, Taylor, I just wanted to ask about Quincy Ballard's availability for tomorrow's game. I know he went through workouts and walkthrough and stuff like that against Mama. So where's he stand?
Yeah, he's going to play Friday. Mills said today at the press conference that was a total precaution, and, you know, they're not going to say it, but, you know, to be honest, you know, they probably thought they didn't really need him for Monmouth, and that was a total precaution just to sit him out. They didn't want him re-aggravating that before, like I said, you know, a tough stretch coming up here the next three games. So he'll be back Friday, but, yeah, without DeGray, but expect Ballard back in.
Taylor, we appreciate it. Thank you for being with us. Have a safe trip to Kansas City.
Sounds good. All right. Thank you, guys.
All right, Taylor Eldridge from the Wichita Eagle. We'll be back. We've got an hour left. We've only put in an hour.
Nothing.
Feel like I've worked my tail off in that first hour.
Oh, jeez.
Kind of carried the two of you.
Oh, of course you did.
Well, we can leave.
We'll see what you have in hour number two. We do have picks. That's always fun. Max will join us, as will the big fella Anthony. We'll be back.